David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. Super excited. I had a really great conversation with this powerhouse lady last week. We put out a podcast last week. If you did not see it, check out Yara Banks last week on our podcast platform. She's amazing. She is back to share more of her business expertise, and what a wealth of knowledge she is. So Yara Banks is here. She is the CEO and founder of BNX Business Advisors. She has so many accolades and she received them in such a short time. And I am so honored to bring her onto the stage shortly. Before I do, though, I would love to take a second to thank our sponsors, Spreaker and iHeartRadio, because without you, our show would not be possible. So thank you, everyone. And welcome back, Yara. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Better now that I get to talk to you. And you're such a wealth of knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't take that lightly because I work really hard to be a subject matter expert about the things that I talk about. I'm not one who just comes up here and gives lip service. What I'm telling you is based on my personal experience, the experience I've had with my clients, and experience that I've observed in other different industries and throughout the workplace. So it's important to note that part. With over 20 years of combined operating and human resource experience, I believe I've seen a lot and I've done a lot. So I want to come talk about some of the things that I see. And then there's ways to fix some of these things. So we can talk about that.
Amazing. And experience you have. And I don't take that lightly either, because I feel like the people with the most experience are the most knowledgeable. And so today I'm going to introduce the topic. We're going to talk about middle growth or the middle management bottleneck. And I'm not an expert in this. You're the expert in this. So can you tell everybody what that means? And let's dive into it today.
Okay, great. So first of all, anybody who's ever worked in a company knows that there's what's called middle management. That is the layer of management between you and the executives or the owners. Mm-hmm. As a working class person, you are the front line of defense, and then you have that middle management ledge, and then you have executives and owners at the top. What happens in a lot of organizations is there's a gap of information. It kind of stops or bottlenecks in middle management, whether it's from top down or bottom up. The information stops, whether it is communication about our vision and our goals, where we're headed, whether it is information about job openings in other departments, whether it's information and skills that I need to do my job today. A lot of it stops right at that middle management point. And what we want to do is kind of identify why does that happen, and then what can we do about it, right? One of the things, and I'm not sure if we talked about this previously, I'm sure we have, but I am the owner of BNX Business Advisors, but I also run two other companies. And part of my job is human resources, but it's also business advising, right? So I work with a bunch of different types of companies. So I understand and see firsthand where this happens and the damage it can cause to the organization. Okay. So, and I've been an employee. So imagine that, mm-hmm. right? So I've been a part of this particular, I don't know what you want to call it, but this particular issue, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a well-rounded understanding of exactly what we're talking about here. So now if we talk about middle management, middle managers typically are promoted from within. And those jobs are typically given to people who A, have been here for a very long time, or so it's a loyalty promotion, or B, you do really well at the job you have right now without any forethought as to what you would, how well you would succeed in the next level job, mm-hmm. right? No preparation, nothing, but you're a rock star. So I'm going to promote you up to the next level. Okay. Well, most people would not balk at that. They'd be like, absolutely, that's more pay, that's more prestige, via title change, a little bit more authority. That's great. However, the moment you take that position as a middle management, now you have this new level of expectations on you. And most of the time, those expectations are unrealistic. You have the executives that expect you to know everything that a middle manager should know on day one. Guess what? You have employees that expect you to know everything that a manager should know on day one. So now everybody expects you to know everything without giving you any resources to know anything, right? If you do get training, chances are the training you get are about the job. So how to perform the job, not how to manage the people, right? So you'll know how to input this, how to run certain reports, who's who in terms of who you need to communicate, but you won't know how to manage the team. That is what's causing the bottleneck. Because you got to think with managing team, it's more than hiring and firing. You've got to build camaraderie, right? You have to address any skill gaps that are out there. You have to understand who you are as a person and then who you are as a manager through emotional intelligence. You have to know how to build, inspire, and empower a team in order to make them do their best for you. You have to understand there's different motivators for people to do their best. You have to understand that not everyone is you and meet people where they are, but care enough not to leave them there. Right? You meet them where they are, but care enough not to leave them there. Those are things that are not necessarily given to you as a skill set or a training package when you become middle management. So, what are the issues with that? Well, let's say the company has decided they want to move their manufacturing overseas. And while they do that, everyone else has to work harder here because they got to shut down certain sections so they can move them and transport them and get them settled. Logistics. All right. So all of a sudden, as an employee, you're asking me to do twice the work. You're demanding me to do things that I've never had to do. You've upped our KPIs. I used to have to only produce 50 widgets. Now I have to produce 75 widgets. Where's all this coming from? I don't have a clue. Well, if your middle manager wasn't aware of your new exploits as a organization and why we're doing it, they can't communicate that to me. So, do they understand the direction that you're taking? And can they articulately convey that to me in a way that I'm going to receive it? Meaning, having a communication plan, for instance. People don't think about that. Now, I'm one who almost every conversation I have, before I have it, I've played the conversation in my head. They're going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and then they're going to say this, and then I'm going to say that. Now, it didn't always go that way, but at least there's some forethought as to what this conversation might be like, right? But it's still some sort of plan that I formulated in my mind to have this conversation with someone. And that goes for my children, my husband, my parents, my siblings, personal, professional relationships everywhere. I try to have some general idea of what you're walking into when you broach this subject of whatever the conversation is, right? So if you did not explain in a way that your middle manager understands the direction the organization is taking and empower them to communicate your voice and your vision to their staff, chances are it's not happening. Or it's happening in a way that's negatively impacting the morale of the team, meaning, all I know is they told me we're doing this, so we're doing it. That does not instill any type of morale, camaraderie, or anything like that. It's just like, oh, it's just a director from on high, right?
I'm just going to stop you for a second because when you said that, it like impacted my body. I had an actual reaction to the thought of the unknown, not having the information, not being properly equipped, and how unsettling that is. When you have the clarity, then you understand the vision, then you know why you're there and what your part in that is. So I literally, my body just like flushed when you said that because it's happened so many times.
Right. And it does happen all the time. So let me just preface this. Understanding does not equal agreement. So when you're moving in a new direction as an organization, you need your people to understand what the problem is, what the change is going to be, and what you hope to accomplish from that change. They don't have to agree with it. That's not part of the equation. They just need to understand what your thinking is. Okay. So a lot of times, people managers, middle managers who are not equipped to have difficult conversations will avoid it altogether by saying, this is what they said, so this is what we're doing. An attempt to shut down any type of pushback or questions or concerns. That's what they said, this is what we're doing.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Right.
Okay. And so sometimes people who are not confident in their role, their authority titles, as I call them, they're not confident in their authority titles will oftentimes try to shut down conversations quickly, which alienates the person you're trying to have that conversation with. They're not doing it to be dismissive. Technically, they're doing it because they don't really have the answers. And so they want to get in a back and forth with you because I don't have the information to debate with you. Right? They also are not confident in the fact that what they do is take on questions in the pursuit of understanding as attacks or undermining.
Yes, I was going to say emotional
Right.
intelligence.
Right. Back to that emotional intelligence. So you need people to understand where we're going so that we can all get there together. When, as a middle manager, you understand what the vision is and you go to communicate it to your people, you need to be able to explain what's the problem? What are we changing? What do we hope the outcome's going to be? But there's another layer. What's in it for you? This is how it's going to impact your day to day for the short term or the long term. Here's what we hope you're going to get out of it for the short term or the long term. Get their understanding, their buy-in. They're willing to give it a shot. They don't have to agree. Likewise, as middle management, if you're communicated visions by executives and owners to you, you need to get the understanding you don't have to agree. But then that agreement or disagreement, particularly the disagreement, needs to stay within you. That's not something you then communicate to your team. Listen, this is what they're doing. I don't really agree with it, but this is what they said. We can't have those kind of conversations. It needs to be like one band, one sound. We're all on the same page. Okay. So those are the kind of things that can be negatively impacted when your middle management is not where it needs to be. Now, if your middle management does not have the proper skills to be middle management, and I'm talking about the job skills, but again, back to the management skills. If, Amy and Susie are always fighting, they're always arguing, they never can agree, there's always something going on between them, what should I do? Well, you should have some idea about what to do with that, right? Are you trained on what our policy is about workplace behavior? Number one. Number two, do you have any idea about like mediation or conflict resolution? Can you set one aside and kind of figure out what the problem is and go talk to the other one and figure out what the problem is and find a middle ground? Do you have any training on that? Is it a problem that they really don't get along because maybe there's some internal competition, internal conflicts within the team? There's favorites and there's cliques. Those kind of things that you have to be able to identify and root out. So those are things that are important when it comes to being a middle management. You also need to understand about succession planning. I'm in charge of 50 people, and there's a hierarchy in there. And if all of a sudden number 25 and 26 decide to go someplace else, who's going to fill their role and how will that happen? You have to be responsible to understand what the training needs are of your people. How to get them trained up to take on the next role. But before you even start training people, understand where do they want to go? You have to know your people. What is their desires? What are their motivations? Why did they have this job? And understand that not everybody wants to be the CEO of the company. Some people just want to do this one job, and you have to be okay with that. Right? But those who are
Yes.
feeling undervalued and underutilized in their role, how can we put them in touch with a higher level of responsibility? Even if you say, well, Yara, we don't have it in our budget to promote anybody right now. Fine. How can you do it for little to no money? How can you say, as a manager, I'm kind of overwhelmed and I have to run these reports every week and they kind of, how about I teach you, Lisa, how to run this report for me? And you can be responsible to help me get this report every week.
Right. Yeah. Showing
You know?
value.
Right. How about there's a meeting that I need to sit in on? It's a listen only meeting, but I don't have time. Can you go to the meeting and take notes for me? How about Melissa over here is not making her numbers every month, and you always do. Would you mind sitting with her, do a side by side, show her your method, and maybe she can adopt some of that? Now you're the team trainer.
Right.
That gives
That's
you
powerful.
even it right, but even it may not give you immediate pay, but it's going to give you some gratification because your currency may be your ability to learn and help people, and not necessarily that paycheck.
It builds
But you
your
have to know,
portfolio.
right? But you have to know what motivates people. Like
Exactly.
some people have employee of the month, right? And they take your picture, put it on this plaque in the middle of the room, and then you got your own parking spaces. Some people will be mortified by that. Some people
Yeah.
don't like that spotlight, right? So what would motivate you? That's what that middle manager needs to find out by knowing his people. Now, on the other hand, if I know that Lisa's a rock star and she always, does 110% of her KPIs every month, and all of a sudden she starts falling off. And she's normally well groomed and she has her hair done and her nails done, and all of a sudden she's coming in late, she's not meeting her numbers. Because I know her, I know this isn't typical. So I know I can address Lisa and say, hey, Lisa, I notice this is going on. Oh, what's up? Is there anything I can do to help? Do you need something? I can refer her to EAP. I can refer to HR. I can get somebody in to help her because all of a sudden this new trend or this new way we've decided to go, it's not clicking with her, but it's clicking with someone else. Can I put her with someone? What can I do to help Lisa? But I have to know what Lisa's capable of and what isn't and is not within her character, so to speak.
Know your
This is
people.
also where I say that middle management is one of the first lines of defense when it comes to workplace violence.
Okay.
And the
Wow.
reason I say that is because you know your people. Think about every instance of workplace violence. You always hear people in the news going, well, Johnny said such and such, or she said so and so, but I didn't believe it. Right? But there were signs like missing work, like leaving early, not caring about your appearance, not caring about your job, being extra cranky when that's not something you're like.
Yeah,
There are
exactly.
signs something else is going on. Being a hermit when normally you are the most outspoken person on the floor. But because I know you, I know something's up. Something's up. And maybe early intervention could help us dissuade something from down the line.
So important.
So that's why I say that, because we know our people. Even if it's all of a sudden Lisa, unfortunately, at home is dealing with some domestic violence. Well, as a manager, I would definitely need to know that because I'm responsible for the safety of everyone. But if there's a way to get her some intervention, that might stop anything that could happen later on. That's
Yes.
just another layer of security.
Sounds like
Likewise,
a
mental health
dream.
issues. Right. Mental health issues, right? So all of a sudden she's going through these changes again. If I can get her with our employee assistance program, or we have some kind of counseling program, or find some resources for her, that might help her. We never know, because we must remember people have lives outside of this organization, and those lives sometimes they intersect with the job, right? And sometimes that's causing me that I got in a fight with my husband on the way to work this morning. It might cause me to be kind of cranky or off a little bit or whatever the case may be. But I'm just saying, if you know your people, you know this is not normal.
Let me ask you this. What if you go and talk to one of your employees and they're completely off? All the signs are there, their appearance, they're coming in late, they're not performing. You go in and talk to them and they're not open. They don't want to talk about it, but you can clearly feel your intuition is saying something's going on. We need an intervention. So what do you do in that case if they're not willing to open up and let you in, whether that be fear, whether that be whatever it is, people have their reasons for wanting to keep that to themselves. What's your next step there?
So as a manager, I'm speaking a manager's perspective, what I would then would I would engage human resources.
Okay, so what would that do?
So what that would do, now I'm speaking as a human resource person. So if
Man,
someone
you
were to
have
come
so
to,
many hats in this conversation.
right. So if someone were to come to me with the concern like what you expressed, I would start asking questions. When did it start? Do you know about anything in the home life that might have triggered it? I would start asking questions about how different is it, and was it drastic, or was it, whatever. I would then give that manager some resources. I would say, here's the
Okay.
number to the EAP. Here's the number of off-site counseling center. They can call right now. Let them go into a conference room and call and have a conversation. I want to
Right.
give them resources. I don't want to come as a third party outside and say, hey, Lisa, I hear you got some problems going on. Your manager told me. Now, well, that would break down any trust that
Right.
I might have with the employee, right? So I don't want to do that. I want to give that person, that manager who came to you, the resources to take back to that person. Now, you can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. All you can do is give them
Right.
resources, assure them that you care about them and their situation. Anything you can do that can help, you're there. Just listening. If it's just sitting quietly for a few minutes and letting you get yourself together, whatever the case may be, that you're available to do that. Because you can't stop anything that someone doesn't want to open up to you. But now I'm going to go on the flip side and say this. Part of getting to know your people is building a rapport. So if something's going on, they feel comfortable talking to you about it.
Right.
That's part of it. So if we talk on a daily basis about what the kids did this weekend and what the dog did, and let me show you my puppy pictures, and oh my God, my in-laws, and whatever the case may be, then if something's going off, I'm more likely to have a conversation with you. Now, this is also important. Are you a manager that only talks to people when there's something wrong? You didn't meet your numbers, you were late coming in, your lunch break too long, took too long, this person complained about you, or whatever. Are you that manager? Or are you a manager that's constantly giving feedback? This is part of the training process of empowering your team for middle managers. Constantly giving feedback to say, you're doing great. I like what you're doing here. How did you do that? That's a great idea. Hey, over here, we need to work on this. Here's not a weakness, but an opportunity for improvement. Right? Are you that manager? Because if I have a rapport, and I've said this a million times before, correction without relationship will never work.
Or respect.
Right. So if I know that we have a relationship, which if we have respect, we definitely have a relationship of some sort, right? So if I know we have a relationship in that you have my best interest at heart, you can come tell me anything. That may not be the best news. And I know you have my best interests at heart. So I'm going to take that first before I hear whatever news you have. And then I'm going to filter it through our relationship and then come to a conclusion about how I react. Right? Because if I never talk to you about anything, this happened to me at job. So there are people who I worked with who I never talked with. My first husband passed away and I got the call on the job. And of course, I was hysterical. And there were some people who know me and I talked to all the time. And they're like, okay, Yara, what do you need? Can I drive you home? Blah, blah, blah. But then there are other people who never really talked to me. It's like, what's going on? You okay? So what's going on? No.
Right.
You may
Get
truly
out
be
of
concerned,
here.
but you didn't speak to me any other part of the day. So keep it moving now, right? So
Yeah.
that makes the difference. Like, I know you have my best interest at heart. You can come to say, Yara, you got a little friend in your nose here, and I would be like, oh my God, girl, thank you for telling me, as opposed to you're just trying to embarrass me in front of everybody, kind of a thing, right? How we react to it is filtered through our relationship. These are things that our middle management needs to know. They need to know what resources do my people need to make them the best them they can be.
Yes, I love that.
We're on this computer system that's ancient and it's causing all these delays and it's always going down. And so our numbers are bad this month because we had 2 week delay trying to get this on and we were closed out for a whole 8 hours this day. I need to know what resources do we need. We need a better system so that I can go and advocate on behalf of my people in order to get the numbers that the organization as a whole needs. I need to know what are some of the problems. Do they have the resources? You're asking to do this new process because you want to move these people overseas. However, they've never been trained on this process, and I haven't
Right.
either. So what kind of training will you have available to us so we can get on your page so we can all work together as an organization? And okay, so now that you want us to do 125% of our KPIs every month, do you have extra bodies available? Like, you need that person to be able to advocate, feel comfortable and confident enough to advocate on behalf of their teams. That goes back
Exactly.
to having difficult conversations, assertive communication, change management. All of those things are part of what middle management needs. They need to be able to get from behind their desk or their office or their cubicle to get out amongst the people to find out what's going on, what's working, what doesn't work. Figure out how to do focus groups. Hey, we're thinking about getting a computer system. I know all the gripes of the one we have now. What are ideal characteristics of one that would really work for us? You're not going to ask executives that. You're going to ask the people who use the system every day.
Right, yes.
So what do we do? What we do is create a leadership development program for middle managers and aspiring middle managers.
Okay.
Okay? We don't wait till they get the job. We want people who are rock stars who are saying, me, I want to go to the next level. And they're showing you that by showing up every day, by doing their work and doing it great, by helping their teammates. You see all these characteristics of a great leader. Let's put them in training now. Because when middle manager decides he's had enough from all the extra pressure because he wasn't trained properly and he wants to walk off the job, you have someone to fill his place. You want to create continuity.
Right.
Okay. So, but these programs shouldn't be a one time a year or right when you get the job, a 2 week training when you get promoted and you never get any more training. It should not be that. There should be multiple levels of development, professional development throughout the process in your organization. So you have that group, maybe you do it a mentor group. Maybe you started out as a mentor group and these are people who are rock stars, right? Who want to go to the next level. Maybe you meet with them, twice a month as a group. Talk about some of the things that are needed in middle management. Find out what their skill sets are, what their preferences are. Like I do human resources. This is me, Yara, talking. I do human resources, and part of human resources in a lot of organizations is payroll and benefits. I hate it. It is so boring. I know how to do it, but that's not my preference. I'm not raising my hand for that. I can do it and I can do it well. It's just not my preference. I'm more people oriented. I want the people part of it, right? So not everybody wants to do everything. So understand who they are. And then if someone says, okay, we're in the manufacturing department and I want to work in sales, pair them up with a salesperson, give them a mentor or a peer buddy. They can start understanding what that really looks like, what that really means on a day-to-day, and identify whether or not that's really where they want to be. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer till I did an internship in a law office and all that paperwork. No, it's not like law and order, like I thought I was gonna be able to go up there and talk people into stuff and
Oh,
do the
God, yeah.
and all that. All these paperwork, no, thank you. You should have said. So
Oh,
it's just
God,
like,
I lived that, girl. I lived that for 10 years. There was so much paperwork and just documents, photocopying. I just, yeah, it was exhausting.
No, I'm not cut out for that. I ideally too, I'd be a horrible secretary. I would be a horrible secretary. That's just not my thing. So find out what people's things are. And if they think, okay, I want to go in sales, and now they sit and shadow somebody in sales and they get a couple good days and they're like, ooh, no, thank you. I don't think I could really handle this. What are the options out there? So that's something you can do to low, no cost. Get them a mentor program and then get them a mentor in a different department that they're interested in. That could start out your training process. And if they're a middle manager, guess what? You can do the same thing because maybe they don't want to stay a middle manager. Maybe they want to be a VP or a director or whatever the case may be. Get them mentors. People they can go to on the good days and bad days, where they can build trust in a relationship and say, hey, I'm not sure how to go about this, or this is the problem I'm having. What do you think? Can I bounce some stuff off of you? Give them something to look forward to. So mentoring, that's easy. Side by side or peer buddies, that's easy. A day in the life of, or however you want to call it, that's easy. Also make sure that with every training program you provide is a life cycle of whatever your product or service is, not just their little tiny slice of it, but what happens on the left hand and the right hand, upstream and downstream, past my process. Make sure they have a full understanding of what they're doing, what are they producing, what's the purpose of all of this. That's part of a training program that people oftentimes miss. I don't know if I shared this with you already. I worked at a job that had a process, and I was a part of the process, and I always had questions. So what happens if you push the red button? Or what happens if you do this? And my manager would literally tell me it was none of my business. Outside the scope of my job, that's for someone else to worry about.
Interesting.
Because we were so production focused. If you're worrying about what other people are doing, you're not producing. Produce, produce, produce. But in that production, we want quality production, right? So I need to understand how me putting this decimal point in the wrong place can affect things 3 months, 6 months, a year later. I need to understand that. So I don't know if that particular manager would tell me that because I ask a lot of questions and he just got tired of answering them, or if he didn't know the answer himself. And so it was just easier to shut me down than to say, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a fair contrast there.
So my point is making sure that everybody understands the full life cycle of whatever we're creating here. Okay.
Yeah,
You
fully.
also want to make sure that your people are up to date on what the world around us is doing. Like introduction of AI. If everyone's scared to use AI because they think they're going to be out of a job, that's a problem. We need to be able to be flexible and be agile with the times. We need to be able to, but we have to be upskilled on that, right? We have to be continuously skilled on whatever's the next biggest, newest thing coming out that the market is using, that my competitors are using. I need to be skilled on that. So that would be part of a training program, right? And then we have to identify and understand our emotional intelligence. That plays a role in everything we do, every decision we make, it plays a role. It is paramount to understand that. And the biggest part for me about emotional intelligence is introspect. I know how I would take it if someone were to give me this news. I know how I would react if someone were to say this to me like that. So if I don't want that reaction, how can I say it differently? Right? I know Lisa, and I know Lisa tends to be more of an introvert, doesn't like a lot of attention called on her, and is sometimes shy to speak her opinion. So if I want to go to Lisa for an opinion, I'm definitely not going to call on Lisa when she didn't raise her hand in the middle of a staff meeting. I might pull up to her cubicle office later on and go, "Hey, Lisa, I was thinking about that meeting this morning. What are your thoughts on it?" And then I might get the reaction that I want. Right? Or if I have to tell Lisa that her last month's numbers were horrible, I need to know how to approach Lisa with that. I don't want to say your last month's number are horrible. I might want to say, hey, over the last 3, 4 months, you've been really just on the mark, on the mark, on the mark. And then this last month looks a little different. What do you think attributes to the changes between last month and
Exactly.
this month? And how can I help you?
Brilliant.
Now, me, just tell me my last number, last month's number sucked.
Me
I'll
too.
know what that means. And I probably knew it before you knew it. And there's nothing you're going to say to make me feel worse than I already do. You can tell me that because I have a different personality and my emotional status is different than some other people, but I need to know how to approach folks because not everybody wants it delivered the way I want it to deliver. Right?
Yeah,
So
so
introspect is
powerful.
so important
Yeah.
about how you communicate with one another, and even how you carry yourself. Even how you carry yourself. I was as a consultant, I was in an organization that just did a big merger and acquisition, right? It was a bunch of people moving different departments and stuff. And I met with a person who was administrative staff. So she arranged meetings and, took notes at the meetings, all that kind of administrative staff. And then she did great. I felt very welcome. She took took care of all my needs while I was there on site visiting. And even when I had to go to different sites, she'd call ahead and go, "Hey, Yara likes donuts, or Yara likes this, or she likes that. Make sure you have this kind of coffee. She doesn't like Starbucks," whatever the case may be, right? And so I just felt that was great. Well, later on, months later, I found out that she has a huge background and a whole nother field. I would have never guessed that this person had that huge background in another field because she didn't carry herself with that authority. Not the way she dressed, not the way she communicated, or anything. I would have never guessed that. So I told her when she told me that, and I had a conversation with her, I was like, hey, seriously? Like, what's the difference? There's a big contrast here. There's a big contrast. Your confidence level, your this, your that. And she admitted that through the changes in the organization stuff, she felt a little, it took something away from her and her confidence level and
Fair.
everything going to this other position.
Right.
And so I get that, but if you want to get back there, we got to do something different. So that's what happens sometimes, right? So we want to make sure that we understand where people are and we want to reach them. We're reaching them for the purpose of empowering them to do their best. We want to give them some autonomy to make some decisions as it relates to the scope of their work, because that's how you're going to see where your rock stars shine, right? Are you making good decisions or bad decisions? Not anything that's going to shut the doors of the company. Let's not make any mistakes there. But so a little bit of autonomy within it. Hey, we're going to go. We're gonna switch to, I mean, this is silly, but in the marketing department, you might say, hey, we need a new font. This one's kind of boring. What are your thoughts on it?
Right.
Something like that. Okay. Something where they have a little bit of, they feel like a little autonomy within their job and you value their opinion. I don't know if I shared this with you. I worked at a company and it was my first day. And the director came in and she said, I was the assistant director, she was the director. And she said, hey, I'm preparing this report for the president. I got to turn it in this afternoon. Can you please read it for me and see if you have any ideas? On my first day. That forever changed the trajectory of our conversation, of our relationship. All these years later, we're still very much friends. She retired like 15 years ago. We're still very much friends.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Right. And it didn't cost her anything. But she's smart. She's trying to see where, what am I thinking? Where's my train of thought? Where am I at? Where's my head at? And that made
Amazing.
all the difference in the world because she valued me and I just showed up. My mother-in-law was doing her dissertation for a PhD and she wanted me to read her dissertation to see if I had any comments or any feedback. I don't have a PhD, but wow, right? Wow.
Yes,
So that
this
tells
makes you
people
feel
something.
so valued.
Right. It didn't cost anything. She probably doesn't even know how much that meant to me to this day. But I'm just saying things like that don't cost a lot. But we're training our people that we value you and we see you for the information and education and experience that you bring to the table. We see you. That's important. People want to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
I love that. And we're gonna have to get going here soon.
Sure.
And our next episode, you can dive in into even deeper into this topic. It's so interesting. I want to ask you this. Can you tell everybody where they can find you, what your services are, and all of that stuff? Because you're just such a wealth of knowledge.
Sure. So you can find me at bnxba.com. That's our website. I'm also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can search either by Yura Banks or you can search BNXBA. We have services, like I said, with business and human resources, everything except for benefits and salary administration. We can do salary studies and things like that, but just to actually like paying payroll, we don't do that. But all of this change management, emotional intelligence, leadership development training, succession planning, performance management, like every aspect, organization development, every aspect of your organization, we got you covered at BNXBA. And then from the business standpoint, process improvement, workflow, we do a little bit the lean and agile. We can do all of that kind of stuff that to help your organization be top tier in terms of being productive and ready to go, ready to grow, ready to scale. I just think that if you're interested, reach out to us through our contact us sheet, go to bnxba.com, fill out contact us. We do not charge for consultations. If you just want to have a strategy session and say, hey, here's some of the challenges, and for me to kind of spitball with you about some ideas about things you can do, I have absolutely no problem do that because at the end of the day, it benefits everyone, and that's what we're trying to do.
Amazing, amazing. I know two things I took from this conversation, the two powerful words. One, relationships and seeing humans as humans. And the second thing is the importance of information. In your words, I want you to leave our audience with kind of just a nice way to tie this into a bow. What is something you want to leave us with from this conversation? And then we will let everyone go.
Okay, so from the perspective of middle management, right? That's where our bottleneck is. Give your managers every resource humanly possible to be successful in that role, because that is the what's the word I want to say? You know how you build a house and you have a couple of bars that hold up
Foundation?
everything?
Foundation?
Yes, it's a foundation, but more important than that, it's the bars that hold
Structure?
everything together. Yes,
Just okay.
there's a retaining wall. I think maybe that's what I want to say. The one that if you knock down, everything else falls down.
Oh,
That is what your middle management is. So you have to give them everything they need before they get into the role and then once they're in it. And part of that is, like you said, the ability to learn how to maintain and grow real relationships with the people in the organization. That's what I'm going to leave for you. That comes with training. That comes with preparation. Yes, sometimes it comes with dollars, but it's worth it in the end.
Amazing, amazing. I love that so much. That's Yara Banks, everyone. She has a podcast on our channel. Go check out the last few episodes. They have just been so amazing. Yara, it's been so much fun today. Thank you so much for coming back. I'm so excited for the next episode. I can't even imagine what you're going to be talking about. Do you have an idea?
Not right off the top of my head. It'll come to me. I have a bunch of
Oh.
ideas, but I want to try to get the most important ones in.
The suspense, the suspense. Love it,
Yes.
love it.
Yes.
Thanks again for being here today. It was an honor doing this with you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Be well.